Thank you. Thank you. It's a lot easier in Texas when you can say howdy and people are trained to say howdy back. I've noticed that even the principal has troubles with that here. In any case, welcome to the beginning of the semester and our new world. The first thing I have to do, of course, we've got a fairly big agenda in front of us, and we're going to have a climate. Of course, we've got a building update, which is really important. And the other big thing that we're going to talk about today is the results of the climate qual survey and an update with that. It's going to take probably several sessions with Lori for everyone to kind of digest the results of the climate qual survey and what we plan to do with it. So I'll talk a little bit more about that when I introduce Lori, but I hope that you all listen with very keen ears and ask questions as appropriate, because it is a very important process for us and one that we will be working, folding into all of our planning over the next several years. So to start out with, I have to say thank you. I can't for so many things to so many people. We live in interesting times, and it's been a very eventful summer. It's really difficult when you have to pick up and move, whether it's people or whether it's objects, and we're still in the process of that. And we have said goodbye to many of our friends and colleagues, and as a matter of fact, nearly 30 of them in the past couple of years, and that's a lot of people. And when you have these sorts of changes, things aren't the same. And we can't expect them to be the same. And it's really hard not to have the same expectations of yourself of business as usual. And we did this way before, and this is what we anticipate that we'll be able to do in the future, and it's just no longer true. We have to do things differently. We have fewer hours overall. The students are not just totally pleased with that. We don't have the same number of people working the same number of hours, and you can't have the same expectation. We won't have the same expectations of you to do things in the way that they were done in the past with the same expectations that we had. So we have to accommodate processes, do things differently, and in some places, and do things in, we will be continuing to outsource some work in collection services. We cannot expect to do things in the way that we did before. So I just wanted to say that. There are some special thank yous too. We could not have done what we did this summer without first Diane's great leadership, and then everybody who pitched in for so many things. I think almost everybody in this room was tipping books at some point in time, which I understand was real fun for everybody. There were people in the dean's office who learned a lot more about air conditioning and refrigerating than they knew before, not to mention some anatomy. We can't do these. Every library runs with the goodwill of the people who work in it and the library families that we form. So I just want to say that I personally am deeply appreciative of it, and our users, of course, are the only reason that we're here, and everything's for them in the end, and I know that they are. We aren't done yet, and things will continue to change. We're only at the beginning of this, of not of change, because that's ongoing. The only thing I can promise you is continuous change. But it is a very different world that we're living in, and it will continue to morph. I want to particularly thank all of the people who were involved in all the orientation activities, the committee working on things like the Parents' Tent, the Graduate Student Fair, Discover McGill, the new faculty fair, the Amazing Library Race, all went incredibly smoothly. And that was work that many people were doing on top of everything else that they were doing. And all the welcome tours and quick start tours, workshops, there's just so much going on that I just can't even begin to mention it all, but I'm truly, truly appreciative. And it wouldn't work if people didn't every once in a while just say, I'm skeptical of how this is going to turn out, but I'll just wait and see. I mean, that's the way that we manage to get on. And with good people with goodwill, things work and things happen. As I said, we're going to have a number of updates on facilities, HR update, climate qual. As a little public services announcement, the new principal will be here at next Dean's Corner on October the 30th. And I really hope that as many of you can actually be in here in the room as possible, if not, of course, from a distance. But I really hope that we can fill the room, and she's here to get to meet those of us in her extended library university family, and it was really important for all of us to be here. So put that on your agenda, and please try to be here. So with that, I'll take questions at the end from near and far as usual, but I'm going to turn it over to Diane. Yeah.
All right, get this on to somewhere. I'll begin. Great. Good. Here we go. Opening remarks. Well, thank you, Colleen. And I have a very extensive facilities update to bring you because a whole lot has been going on and many, many people have been involved. Let me just start with the Life Sciences and Schulich Libraries, just to give you an update on the people. Now, the librarians and staff from Life have relocated to Schulich. The new head, Sarah Holder, the five liaison librarians, which includes Jill Baruff, who's the coordinator, and three library assistants from Schulich, moved and have been in place for a little over a week now. We're tweaking the environment that they live in, integrating in with the Schulich librarians and the Schulich library assistants. And so we have a total of 10 librarians and 6 LAs. We're filling the open liaison position. Just to let you know, we're in. The conference and training room is one of the last steps. We're lucky that there's space in the basement for a really beautiful conference room. Oops, sorry. I need to get this. Hang on. Let me ignore the man behind the curtain. There we go. All right. Okay. So it will be great for the group over there to have a space to meet, to train, and something similar to this. So we're excited about that. New phone extensions are on order. That always seems to be the last step in any relocation project. So be patient and always reach them through email and whatever, carrier pigeon. But you can see we have a new service counter, Heidi Simmons at the counter, with our 6 LAs have been set up. They're in place. Beautiful sunny area. This is Jill Baruff, the coordinator, in a meeting space outside of Sarah's office. So it's becoming more like home with as they settle in. The liaison librarians for Life have a large space, and you're looking at the consultation zone, which is just beside the service counter. So there's several areas for liaison librarians to meet with students there. It really, I do want to thank everyone for a very smooth transition. It's not easy packing up and moving. Sarah, Jill, Robert, and Giovanna. Giovanna did a tremendous work with planning the collection move with Robert. Really, everyone was incredibly helpful and flexible. We got over the bumps, and I do want to thank the library assistants for their really terrific work in helping us merge the collections. It's more work to do, but it's ongoing, but it's really gone nicely. And I do want to thank Francisco Oliva. I always forget to write his name down, but it could not have happened without Francisco and the Scots team. So, continuing with the people, the Life Sciences Library, we have the service and service area and the reserve collection. Service is provided by Jackie Brazil and our library assistant from 9 to 1 and 2 to 5. That's supported by, with backup from the Schulich team. And let's see now, this consultation. On-site librarians are scheduled between those hours of Monday to Friday. Study areas, all operational, the E-zone, students are in there, they're working. We even have a temporary physical and occupational therapy classroom in the section where the shelving was moved out. This is just temporary. The Faculty of Medicine is working as we speak on a consultation plan with their users to determine the best use of the space that we have moved out of. The month of September is, it's still the books are still in transition. It's still the library space as we move those books out, but as of October 1, when all the books are out, it's turned over to the faculty for their use. So we're collaborating nicely with them as during this month. The Osler Library, of course, business as usual. There is an upcoming major project to upgrade the HVAC and replace the roof over the Osler Library. So we're working very closely with Chris Lyons and the project team to determine how best to handle the collection underneath that. That's still a work in progress. So no work will begin until we have a clear plan on the status of the books. So just some shots. You can see the service counter and consultation counter absolutely in operation. People are busy. This is not Jackie Brazil here. This is the, I don't know, there's a name for that corpse, but it's very cute and it's the skeleton, not a corpse. Pardon me. It has a name?
The skeleton I cataloged, his name is Budget Bucky.
Budget Bucky. Got it. moving along, there are several areas for the liaison librarians to meet with students, both a dedicated office, a consultation zone, and other areas. Now, you can see the students continue to work in the space. That's the fourth floor. This is the third floor E-zone, so it's operational with students in there while the books keep moving. So it is amazing how people can just focus and get their work done despite what's going on around them. The collections move, it's on track. The life materials on the third floor of McIntyre is boxed and moving. The Life collection has been integrated and it is available, physically available on the shelves on the first, second, third, and fourth floors of Schulich. Signage is updated at the end of each range. The Life material on the fourth floor of McIntyre will be boxed and moved out over the next 2 weeks and integrated onto the fifth and sixth floors. So you can see the collection is active, accessible. We've been working with closely with Jane Aitkins on making sure that the message in the catalog for each of the collections is updated. Right now it says temporarily unavailable. Once the fifth and sixth floors are in there, it will flip. But the staff knows if they need a book, if they're asked for a book, they can get it because they're physically there, with the exception of the fourth floor of Life material, which will be completed by the end of September. So we're tracking really well. I encourage you to check the relocations page on the website for current move information and the information on what it says in the catalog and when it says it. Okay, so that's your go-to place.
and we're attempting to keep that as up-to-date as possible. Curry Gym move is underway. The low-use material from Life and Schulich are moving onto the shelves. If an item is required, we will arrange for the material to be retrieved if it's on the shelf now, and via interlibrary loan if it's not on the shelf now. So, here are a few, yes. Some of it's on the shelf. It's moving onto the shelf. We'll talk about it after, because whether it's, yes, good.
Thank you.
Thank you. So you can see this is the third floor. This is material boxed, ready to go to either Curry or the fifth and sixth floor of Schulich. So that's what it looks like, but you can see people working away around it. This is the box. Imagine that box was picked up and delivered by Scott's. This is it on the one of the floors of Schulich. You can recognize Schulich by its beautiful brick. And again, the students are working away in the spaces where the books are. But they're moving onto the shelves. This is a shelf section. The call numbers are marked. And the staff are doing just a fantastic job in keeping up to date as the books move in. The Wendy Patrick collection, accessible and available in Schulich. So this is just the sixth floor of Schulich, showing you there's still plenty of space to work. The Education Curriculum Resources Center, an update on the people. Our coordinator, Maya, is doing a wonderful job in moving us through this. The consultation librarian support is scheduled Monday to Friday. Our library assistant, Faye Young, is handling service and providing access to reserve curriculum in the children's collection from 9 to 1 and 2 to 5. The setup for the Curriculum Resources Center will be finalized next week. A door has been put up. I'll show you. Every day it just keeps getting more and more complete. So by next week, the room will be enclosed. There'll be a lock on it, and the reserve collection and service counter inside the room, which then means that the space is then freed up for the Faculty of Education to take ownership of. Study areas throughout the former library are all actively in use, and in the same way that the Faculty of Medicine has a consultation plan underway, so does the Faculty of Education. And they're determining the best use of that space and the availability of extended study hours. Right now it's 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Again, because the collection is in there, so that will change in time. So here's the famous doorway into the Curriculum Resources Center. As of today, there's a door on that doorway. There was a frame yesterday. So things move quickly. The Curriculum Resources Center, with the Kitty Lit curriculum materials and the reserve collection, will go on to the walls on either side. But you can see the study areas are operational and in use. So, great news about the education collection. It's on track as well. The compact shelving, in fact, has been built. The book reshelving of the education main collection starts next week. So it's the entire collection will be accessible by the end of September. And in case you're wondering, well, where do we put it? We put it where the microfilm collection was, and Eamon has worked with the team at Hustle to move the microfilm collection. If you have any questions about where is it, please go to the Hustle service desk. Correct, Eamon? That's right. Okay, good. Great. So the shelves are built. There they are. That's McLennan's second floor. Those were the shelves from education. And that's the update on those two. I know we have a really tight schedule, but if you have any questions, I can take a couple now. Don't hesitate to email me. Schulich is LC. The medicine is NLM, but they integrate perfectly because of the numbering. And so it's A to Z, and you would find it. Students don't know LC from NLM. They just look up a number. Okay. McLennan Redpath Terrace, this project continues. I have a very broad, rough completion date of spring. But as we get something more firm, I will share it with you. The good news is the Cybertech and Food Court is open. People are finding it. And I do want to remind you that Hustle will have only one entrance even after the terrace is completed. For security and support reasons, having one entrance to the building it makes complete sense. The Redpath doorway will be an exit, fire exit. But this is the terrace, and you can see we have a ways to go. So I will leave it at that. That's the that's Redpath Hall right there. Now, just a final comment on the bug update. I've been communicating with all of you across the library system on the situation we had in the Humanities and Social Sciences Library a little over a month ago when two very controlled sections of a section on the sixth floor of McLennan and a very small section in Redpath, bed bugs were discovered. Facilities were very responsive. We brought in sniffer dogs. We brought in exterminators, and they are gone. So I can reassure you that the bed bug situation has been dealt with. However, we are bringing in, a few days ago, a student returned a book to the Humanities and Social Sciences Library with what appeared to be a bug in it. Again, facilities sprung into action. The exterminator came, took the bug away. It was not bed bugs. So we're thrilled. The only kind of bug we want in the library is the bookworm. So this is Colleen's. I'm not even sure we want bookworms, really, but we'll accept this kind. But I do want to reassure everyone that we're bringing in the exterminator. He's very good. He's the top man from the ABC. Extermination company that we brought in to give us training on what to do should we see any kind of bug of any sort. And they're coming on Tuesday, September 19th at 2 o'clock. We're asking if the session can be filmed so that if you're not able to make it, we can share it with you. And it'll just be what to do should you see something. No food in the library. No food in the library. So I leave it at that. I'm sorry to take so long, but this is, I do want to reassure you that that's. Yes. Yeah. Well, it's a 2-hour session.
Can you just repeat the question
people? Sorry. Will this session deal with prevention? And we will ask him to put that on his talk. Yes. He has reassured us. However, he did say that in a public building, you can be clean one day, and then someone walks in, and you're not.
We're being retested on October the 7th.
Good point.
That's good.
Yeah,
like,
we're being retested. We're bringing the dogs back.
Okay.
Yeah. Fantastic. That you track bed bugs by trained dogs. It's amazing.
I have never heard of that before.
Yes. Sorry, I'll take another question.
I just would add, too, on a couple of occasions we've had people say, my apartment's infested with bed bugs. Do you want the books back? And the answer is no.
No. We'll cover all of that in the training. Great. I'm going to...
I'll clear you if you have any questions like that, but you know, in general, the answer would be no.
Yeah.
So,
deal with
it.
No, yeah. I was just saying that someone said my whole apartment was infested, and I have 10 books. Do you really want them? I mean, what day can I bring them back? And she said, never. But we worked with the supervisor at your branch. So if you have any questions, talk to your supervisor. Or talk to some of the services, and we'll work with you on that.
Great. But I do want to thank everybody for letting us know and staying calm, and we will react as soon as we hear of any other situation. Good. Thank you. And now it's, there we go. You take that.
Yeah. Sorry. There we are. Apparently bed bugs don't like it unless you hold still. So, you know, as long as you're keeping the lights on nowadays, you're probably safe. Yeah, the lights go off in my office all the time. Isabel, HR.
Thank you. Good afternoon. So I'm happy to report that the search for the next Associate Dean for Digital Initiative is now over. So Jen Riley, that you have met in the month of June, has accepted the job and will be joining us on November 1st. At the last Dean's Corner in the month of August, we announced a few vacancy and vacant position that would be posted. So I would like to give you an update on where we're at on those position. This week, we have started the interview process for the non-tenure track position in USO, parentheses, education. We have one more candidate to meet tomorrow. Her name is Karen Riskin. Biskin. The following week, we have two candidates, and this is the funny part of my presentation, for the e-resource librarian. You saw the announcement. We have two candidates for this position. Guess what? One of them withdrew. And now I see people smiling. And yes, I will tell you, it is Mr. Bond. You've heard that Dr. No was not coming, and I guess decided to go somewhere else look for him. So just to let you know, we might have to postpone this search for by a few days. I need to sit down with the search committee so we can discuss further that search. The following week, September 26 and September 27, we'll be taking the show on the road. Another announcement, we'll be holding the interviews from McDonald campus. We have three candidates. We're finalizing the time and the dates, and we're working with the multimedia team to iron out the technical details for the job talk. More than likely, we'll be using the video conference facilities from MAC and here from the downtown campus so everybody can attend and give feedbacks for the job talks. And then the world tour of the search committee will end the week of September 30th by conducting the interviews for the vacant position and the library, the law library. And there will be more upcoming posting while we're doing the search. And the position are listed here. Some will be posted sooner than others. For example, the mat leave replacement in Schulich, the replacement of Jill Baruf, and we'll work down the list together. Those are the tenure track position and non-tenure track position. And right after, you have also the position in the admin and support group. So this is the update for recruitment. And then on another note, QCC. So Miguel will be holding his 45th gala, Quarter Century Club Gala, on October 16. New inductees have received their invitation, and returning member will receive them also shortly. So this year we have, you did, perfect. So this year we have three new members from the library. They are David Curtis, Anne-Marie Emily, and also Jeffrey Marcus from Schulich. So congratulations to the three of you. That's it for HR.
Thank you. We're going to talk now. We're going to turn to climate ball, and I just want to make just a few very introductory remarks about climate ball. As you all know, Lori's going to, you know, Lori's given a presentation on climate ball, and she's going to, there's been a lot that's happened since we did it, and so she's going to remind you a little bit of its history and what it's for. When I first came here, I wanted to do climate call because it's a good benchmarking exercise that I hoped would give me a read of that point in time, and then we could do it again in 3 or 4 years. Normally, it's on that sort of cycle, and then I could have some idea of the areas in which we focused on trying to make improvements and to see if there had been improvements. Well, there were a few things that intervened from the time that I really wanted to do it and the time that we did it. And now that strikes, whatever, there was no one around. A lot of us weren't around to take it if you were on strike. And then one might question whether the climate now is still representative of the climate when people took it. And Lori will talk to you a little bit about that, but we did some serious soul searching, and we agree that you don't change a climate overnight, that what was representative of the climate of the library still obtains from the data that we have. We got a very, very high response rate, despite the fact that it was slow to get through, and I wanted to tell everyone that I very much appreciate the time that they took to do it. I took it too, and I was, you know, I thought I could write the great American novel between questions. That was pretty irritating. But climate qual and doing something like climate qual, I can tell you for many ARL directors, it's not someone for the faint of heart who's an administrator, because you're going to get bad news. By definition, you're going to get bad news. It just depends upon what flavor of bad news you're going to get. It's interesting. I did it at Texas A&M. I've done it here. The bad news is different. The good news is different. There are always things that you need to work on. Everybody's issues and problems are not the same. But there are things that we can work upon, and we will. It's not something that's any good unless there's commitment from the top. And I just want you to know that we are committed. The people who are senior administrators are committed to trying to improve climate. Climate doesn't mean that everybody's happy in the end, but it means that people feel in the end that they're fairly treated with reasonable expectations. As I said, there's no good timing for, I couldn't have picked a perfect time for us to take it. We just had to kind of dig in and do it. And the issues are long-term issues that will require long-term continuous solutions. So these aren't sorts that you don't form a climate overnight. You don't alter and change a climate overnight either. And so with that small introduction, I'd like to turn this over to Lori.
Okay, thanks. Hi, everyone. As Colleen just said, I'm going to talk to you about the results from Climate Qual. So on Tuesday, everyone in the library would have received the agenda for this Dean's Corner. There was an attachment with that email which included some results from a Climate Qual survey. Do people in this room, did some of you see that attachment? And perhaps then you also opened the attachment and read it. Yeah, that's great. I know that some people did not, and I realized that afterwards that it was kind of inside an email that was an agenda, and it wasn't in the subject line. And I want to let everyone know, so I'm going to resend that attachment again. It's not a very large attachment, either later today or tomorrow, so that Just in case you accidentally deleted it or didn't notice that it came in, that you will get the document again, as everyone can have the same copy, because it is important. We had a huge participation rate. We want everyone to be able to see the results, get to know the results. So I'm going to talk about a little bit of the results, the ones that you were sent, which are kind of overview, summary type level results. So the document that I sent you looks like it's this. So it's select pages from the survey. It's the cover page and a few pages that explain statistics and one page of data with means or averages and then lots and lots of graphs. The full ClimateQual results looks like this, and it's 215 pages long, and it's all graphs, lots and lots of graphs and numbers. So that's why I didn't send the whole document out. It's a huge PDF, but everybody in the library can have a look at this. And if you want to see the full results, if you want to see all the breakdown, it's very long. It's complicated. It's actually a little bit confusing. It doesn't come with a table of contents, so I created a table of contents to help orient you to it. So that's why, it's easier to view in print. It's printed in color, double-sided mostly. So if you want to have a look at it, you're welcome to. You can email me, laurie.clota@mcgill.ca. Drop by my office, pop in if I'm around, and I'll give it to you. You can go look at it in another room. But we do have one printed copy of the entire thing if you're into that kind of thing. So just so you know, it's all there. And right, I just want to let you know that when I talk about the results, I won't be talking about the comments right now, but we did have a lot of comments, and the comments are not included in this printed copy because, as I promised when we did the surveys, those are completely confidential, and so the comments that you've written will not be seen by the other staff in the library. I will eventually be able to create a summary paraphrasing them, but I will not be putting direct quotes. So your words are as promised, confidential. So I'll just go into the results now, but I see, yes, you had a question, Patrick. So the question is, could I digitize the whole 215 pages and put it on the U drive, and it is an electronic document. It is in a digital format. It is not on the U drive right now. It could potentially go on the U drive eventually, but for now we are not doing that because of several reasons. One is that it is best viewed kind of printed out, and if a bunch of people start printing out a 200-page document, I'm going to have a crisis of conscience. But more than that is that it's a confidential document among library staff, and putting it on the U drive where 172 people can download to their computer, print it up, and anybody could see it, makes it less confidential. This isn't something that is being shared beyond the library walls, so to speak. Like, Colleen isn't showing it to the provost. It's not going outside the library. So I think we need to wait to have discussions among staff to see if everyone's comfortable with putting it on the U drive before we do it. So it's a possibility, but we haven't done that yet, and that's why there's one print version, and you can ask me. But so the answer is no for now, just to make that clear, but not no forever, necessarily. I know how to use this? Yeah. Okay, so I'm just going to go over to remind you guys what the ClimateQual survey was about, what you did, in case you forgot or in case you didn't participate in the survey, so you can understand the results. And I'll talk a little bit at the end about what we're going to do now that we have the results, because we're not just going to sit and leave the survey and not do anything. So just to remind you, ClimateQual is an assessment tool of organizational climate and diversity assessment. It looks at the library's commitment to the principles of diversity and organizational policies and procedures and staff attitudes. So this is a reminder. I've shown you these slides before if you came to a Dean's Corner back in the winter about ClimateQual. So the ClimateQual survey had several aims. The idea is to foster a culture of a healthy organization, to help us understand staff's perceptions, to facilitate the ongoing collection, so we can do ClimateQual on a cycle. We can do it repeatedly to see if we're making improvements in areas we want to improve, and to identify best practices, and of course so that we can actually interpret our own data. What's in it? Well, if you did it, you know there were 150 questions, and they took a really long time to answer. Those questions were clustered in different areas. Many of those questions were answering, were helping to identify scores in 9 different dimensions or scales to do with climate, 7 different scales to do with organizational attitude, and there were additional questions, which I know that you know about because they were the demographic questions and they were a little bit problematic for a lot of us. So you'll probably remember those. They were right at the end. And there were two sets of context. Some of the questions were about the library as a whole, and some are about the division or the team that you worked on, you work in. There was also at the end a comments box that you could put a short or a long comment or no comment at all. There was also a separate comment box for the survey itself, and that went right to ARL, the Association of Research Libraries that manages the survey. I didn't see that those comments. We don't get those results. Those are for ARL to look at to see how they can improve their survey. So what is organizational climate? It's the interpretation that the employees, so all of us, have towards the priorities of our organization. It helps to understand what the behavior is, which behavior is rewarded, what's supported, and what is expected where we work. So organizational climate has to do with how we perceive these things. So the first thing I want to do is thank everybody for participating in the survey. We had an excellent response rate. Out of the 207 people who were invited to participate, in the end, 174 surveys were completed. That means that they were valid in the sense that there were enough questions answered that the survey response was retained. That represents 84% of our staff at the time, and that's a very good response rate for a university library. The average response rate for Climate Qual of other university libraries is 70%. So I just, again, want to thank you. I know it was time-consuming survey to do. It was not always pleasant to do. It was a very quirky is a nice way of saying, interface. And it's a bit stressful. I also want to thank you for sitting through my presentations or my meetings with you. It was very time-consuming for everyone, but I think it was worth it, and I just want to express my appreciation for all the time that you took. But it also means that because we had such a huge response rate, that the results are extremely meaningful. So it's a really good thing. And just to remind you, the questions on Climate Qual were all a little bit different, but a lot of them had, they had a 7-point scale for most of them. They asked you to choose one of seven things, and they varied by question, but for the most part, it was something like this. So the first one, number one, was strongly disagree, and it went all the way to the other extreme, which was strongly agree, and number four, fourth one was, in the middle, was a neutral, sort of neither agree or disagree. So some of the questions had different answers, like it would be never, or sometimes, or all the time would be the choices. But it was a 7-point scale with a neutral option in the middle. And so the responses are reported according to the average or the mean of those 7 points. So if one person chose 5 and another person chose 3 to answer a particular question, the average of those two would give an average of 4. On a 7-point scale. So that's how the means are represented in that document that I sent out. So here's what we did. When we got the average, the total average among everybody for the scales, we basically divided them into 3 groups. So for those scales where the average, the mean, was 5.1 or higher on the 7-point scale, that is considered an area of success. So strong. People had really, they agreed or they thought something was particularly good. Where the average score was a little bit lower than that, so above the neutral, 4.1, but up until 5, then that's an area that we should monitor. It's not as high a success, but it's still a positive. And I put these color-coded because I'm going to show you graphs later that are color-coded. Where something was below the neutral, so below a mean of 4, that is considered an area of concern or an area to address. And that's going to be in red. So far so good. I'm going to show you some graphs soon, so I just want to make sure. So there were 9 climate scales. So there were a bunch of questions, and some of you noticed this and remarked to me, like, the questions are the same. Some of the questions are very similar because they were asking similar things that they took an average of that, and that would be for that scale, that was the score. And then you take everybody's average for that, average it together, and that's the average for that scale. So there were 9 climate scales, and there's another 7 attitude scales. So there are a lot of means. That's why that page is just covered in numbers. So what I tried to do was to display these in a way that is quick and simple, and these are the means for the whole library system. So everybody who answered a question for this scale, the averages were added together, and that's where we got the score. And not everybody answered every single question. So when you look at the results, or when you look at the results I sent out, you will see sometimes that the total sample size, the N, will be smaller than 174 people. It may be that only 140 people answered that question, or 100, 70 people answered that question, and that's where the mean comes from. So I have the names of the scales here. Instead of putting a definition, I put an example of a question in that area because I think that's the easy way to kind of remember it. And I think we remember a lot of these questions. I'm pretty sure you do because people commented to me about them. So you're going to remember this one, distributive justice. Do the rewards in your division reflect the effort that division members put into their work? And procedural justice, and these are part of a larger scale of justice, have the procedures used to determine rewards been applied consistently? Interpersonal justice and informational justice. Okay, so these are all about the justice, the four justice climate scales. And here is how our scores look. Now, what I did was I converted the 7-point scale to a, so the numbers on the side are different. I put anything that was, anything that's a 4, which is a neutral, I turned that into a 0. So anything below it is a negative score, because it was like a disagree or no. And anything that was above 4 is a positive or agree. So that's the middle line there, that x-axis that you see. Anything above it has an average that was above the neutral. Anything below is negative. It was below the neutral. So the yellow indicates an area to monitor, the blue indicates an area of success, and the red indicates an area to address. So these are the areas of the most concern in the library right now, or at the time that we did the survey. So the first two is distributive justice and procedural justice. You can see those are red. Interpersonal justice is blue, and informational justice is yellow. Okay. If you want to have definitions of these later, you can go to the Climate Qual website. I have a bunch of documents with definitions with me. You can look at the whole survey. I just wanted to give you a quick overview. So leadership. There are two scales to do with leadership: leader membership relationship quality and authentic transformational leadership. And these were both, one of them is an area of success, leader membership relationship quality, and authentic transformational leadership is pretty high as well, but it's not as high as the other one. Climate for deep diversity. This organization values the different perspectives that employees bring to the workplace. These were above neutral, but only so much. So these are in yellow. Standardized procedures and valuing diversity are the two subscales in deep diversity. Demographic diversity. So demographic diversity has to do with personal characteristics. So an example of a question here is the rank of the team or work unit member does not affect how they're valued in this team. And there were four subscales in this. So racial diversity, gender diversity, and sexual orientation diversity, those are areas of success at McGill Library. The area of rank was an area to monitor. So they're all above neutral, quite significantly above neutral, but there's one area that could be higher. Teamwork. So the scales to do with teamwork, employee beliefs in benefits of teamwork, and structural facilitation of teamwork. This is an interesting one. These are two subscales of the same thing, but one is talking about the importance of working as a team, and the other has to do with the actual structure, like the team facilitates actually working as a team. So here, the benefits of teams is an area of success that McGill Library staff think that teams are productive and useful, but the structural facilitation of teamwork is an area to address. Climate for innovation, climate for continual learning, climate for our customer service, and climate for our psychological safety. So these are four different scales. And the interesting one here for me to talk to you about is climate for psychological safety. So here's an example of a question that you would have answered. And as an employee in this library, one is able to bring up problems and tough issues. That's the psychological safety scale. And I put these all on the same chart. So you can see climate for innovation is an area of success, and the other three are areas to monitor. Okay, organizational attitudes. So those are the climate scales. These are the attitude scales. So this has to do with our perception as staff of the place that we work. And it has to do with workforce morale. So there were 7 scales here. I also have descriptions of each of them. I'm going to try to go through them quickly, but again, this is all reflected in what I sent you on Tuesday in the attachment. I've just visualized it here so you could sort of quickly see the stuff that's going to jump out in red. Organization commitment, organizational citizenship behavior, organizational withdrawal. So organizational withdrawal is like if you have one foot out the door, you're looking to work somewhere else, and psychological empowerment in the workplace. Psychological empowerment in the workplace is my impact on what happens in my team or work unit is large. Task engagement, how important you think your work is, and work unit conflict. It has to do with jealousy or rivalry among your unit or your division. So we're above neutral here, and organizational withdrawal, I've actually flipped this one because this one, if you have high organizational withdrawal, people have their foot out the door. So I reverse this score. So this shows actually that this is an area of success and that people are not trying to withdraw from the university. In fact, most people do not have their foot out the door. Job satisfaction is above. Organizational commitment and organizational citizenship behaviors. So these are all above neutral. They're positive. The only one that's negative is psychological empowerment in the workplace. Task engagement is also really high. It's an area of success. So people really feel that the work that they do is important. Before I go to the next steps, I want to pause and leave a chance for some questions about the results that I've just presented. Yes, Valerie. So Valerie's question has to do with organizational withdrawal, and you are commenting that it could be reasons of economics reasons and not necessarily having to do. Yeah, sure. There could be lots of reasons why people answered this way, and they might have to do with, not necessarily the climate, but it has to do with their own personal characteristics of how they feel, certainly. You can also have organizational withdrawal of people who are close to retirement. And so they might be very satisfied with their work, but they're close to retirement, so they're withdrawing from work. So there can be lots of things reflected in the answer at the time that people were doing this survey. The only way to find out would be to talk to them, read their comments, or find out more details about that. We can only learn so much from this data. So yeah, there could be lots of reasons behind why people answer things a certain way. So that's a good point to bring up. Yes, Mark?
You said you were going to be resending out the PDF. When you do so, could you include a note saying that these various terms are defined on the Qual website?
The Climate Qual website?
Because I found the block charts with various terms like organizational justice, but I didn't know what they meant.
Of course. Yeah, so Mark requested that when I send out the PDF again, which I will, to also let everyone know where they can find the definitions. I'm sorry that I didn't also append more pages with those definitions, but I will include a link to the Climate Qual website where you can read the definitions at the same time. I've also, if you come look at the binder, I've actually printed up the definitions separately so you can look at them while going through the binder because you might just want to look at them that way. It's not obvious. They are quite jargony terms, even for me. And so we need a reminder with a definition and an example of a question so you can kind of remember what they're about.
Anyway. Quickly, I'm sorry because I did fill this out, but I don't remember some of the details. This survey is particular to ARL libraries. In other words, Costco, for instance, which always prides itself on employee satisfaction. Could this be then translated to, for instance, Costco or another big organization?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this is a survey of organizational behavior or what's sometimes called industrial psychology, so workplace climate. It's designed specifically for libraries and even more specifically for ARL, or Association of Research Libraries, and as we all know because we took the survey, for American libraries very much, right? It could be, and I'm sure there are surveys that exist for workplace climate that are not for university libraries. But this survey has only been used for university libraries. With one exception, it's been used in the geology department, I think at Texas A&M. They translated it for a different faculty. because they had some perhaps climate issues, and so they just adapted it for them. But there certainly are probably other surveys that parallel this one to measure similar things at other institutions, but it wouldn't be climate qual. Climate qual is just for libraries, basically.
But within the university environment, do other units do this
kind of? I don't know. I don't know that any do. If they did, they wouldn't quite use climate qual. They could use an adaptation of it or another survey that exists out there. There must be other surveys that exist out there. McGill actually has in the Faculty of Management department that focuses on organizational behavior, so I'm sure they are interested, you know, they might do studies like that all the time. But to my knowledge, I don't know if anyone at McGill, if any department has done a survey like this in the past or now. I don't know. You would know.
Admin and finance, the groups reporting to Michael DeGrabach, HR, IT, and University Services do one, and IT does one also, but they develop their own, IT developed their own questionnaire, and the group of Vice Principal DeGrabach went with the company.
Okay, so Isabel Roberge answered saying that yes, that some departments have done either an in-house survey or used an existing survey, but we don't know if any faculties or other academics or units that involve academics and other staff have done a similar survey.
It just seems very practical because just this morning I was at a three-hour meeting with another unit which will remain nameless.
We won't guess. We won't try to guess.
120 people there, and everything was rosy. I have a gut feeling if they did this kind of thing anonymously, they would get a very different snapshot of how people. And I think this is a very useful tool.
Thank you. So the comment was generally about, you know, this is very useful and it would be interesting for other departments who might look, superficially might look great and fine, but sure, it can uncover things that are difficult maybe to talk about openly or that might be more subtle. And I think that's a sign of a well-designed instrument. And while there are flaws with this instrument, and I'm sure we all experienced and had opinions about that while we did it, that overall, it is a worthwhile activity to take, particularly if you're going to do something with the results. So if I can segue into the next part, it's a nice segue. So what are we going to do now that we have results? Well, the first thing that we said we would do is share the results. So that's what I'm starting to do with you. I've sent you the summary. We have the full results. We can do more with the results over time, and that's something that I'd like to work on, to summarize the comments for everybody. And there is, of course, way more detailed analysis in the 215 pages of results. There is also a set of norms or normal values associated with the survey from all the other university libraries that have conducted the survey. We could compare our averages to the total average. I haven't done that because the normative values that they sent to me are from 2011. So all the university libraries that did climate qual in 2012 and have done it so far in 2013 are not included. So I would like to wait to get an updated set of numbers, especially because a lot of Canadian libraries started doing it in 2012 and 2013, and they're not included in the values. But I did take a look, and generally speaking, very generally, our results look like a lot of the other results. So that is to say that the areas that we need to address are typically the areas needed to be addressed in ARL university libraries. And the areas of success for us are also similar to other areas of success. In some cases, we exceed the average. So in some ways, we are better than the average. And in some ways, we are a little bit lower. But for the most part, we are very similar in the areas of strength and areas of weakness. So that's, I don't want to say reassuring, but it's interesting to see that we don't break the pattern. We're not totally different. It's a very similar pattern. And so it is useful to have that information, and I have the norm document also in this binder if you want to look at that, if that interests you. There's a lot of analysis that we can continue to do, but we're going to start rolling out and giving you the results so that you can at least see them bit by bit. The other thing that we wanted to do was get a commitment from the dean, a verbal commitment to do some action based on the results, and we just got that earlier from Colleen, so that's the other thing that we wanted to do. And lastly, we are going to start with some initiatives to use these results to start to decide about what we want to do differently in the library. So Isabel and I discussed this, and we discussed it with the dean. It was presented to the Library Assessment Advisory Committee, who also gave feedback, and this is a brief overview of the plan for how to move forward after we've done climate qual. So it's loosely a four-year plan, but I'll just give you an overview of how it would work. So starting a little bit later this fall, we would, and just to backtrack, this plan comes from examples from what other institutions have done. Some institutions have done Climate Call more than once, so they've had a lot of time to talk about workplace climate, and they've had some successes and failures in that, so we can use that to learn and see what might work here and what isn't probably going to work, to get suggestions. There's a lot of different options, so we're trying to take one that we think is realistic, but that also has shown success at other institutions. So we didn't just make this up, we just read a lot of articles. I saw a few conference talks and talked to a lot of people and talked to people at ARL who are responsible for Climate Qual to come up with this suggestion. So later in the fall, we will initiate some volunteer focus groups. A focus group is when you have a few people, several people in a room together from different places who have differing opinions, ideally, who are comfortable talking, and you have a neutral moderator, facilitator, who asks specific questions, and a note taker who keeps track of the types of different ideas that come up. So the idea would be to have focus groups where anybody who works in the library who is willing to volunteer and come for that hour to sit in that focus group and share their thoughts. And the purpose of that focus group, those multiple focus groups that would happen, would be to identify two priorities to tackle for improving workplace climate for the whole library at first. That would choose two major priorities. And at the same time, recommend how to manage those priorities. So what kind of task force should be created, who should be on it, how big it should be, et cetera, and who they should report to. So that will come from staff. And that's what would happen at the beginning of this year, and then following that, the task forces would be created, they would meet, they would discuss, they would make a plan for how they're going to tackle that and come up with that workplace initiative, and they would share what they're doing at Dean's Corner, for instance, and through other means. And over the winter and for the rest of the year, they would continue working on their initiative. So you'd have two groups working on two initiatives that come out of the Climate Qual results. Starting next year, so in year two, we would do a similar initiative, but for the divisions. So for each division, we would have focus groups, or maybe just one focus group, depending on the size and the number of volunteers. And each division would choose one priority for their division to work on. And they would create a task force, which would then tackle that initiative for their specific division. And again, they would report back. And so that's one priority for each division, create a task force. And then, depending on the success of that, we would repeat that all over again. So in year three, we could then, if the first two initiatives are well on their way or they're completed, we could then do focus groups again and identify two more priorities and have another two task forces created. And the divisions in year four would do the same thing. If they've tackled their one initiative and a year and a half, 2 years go by, and they can do the next one. At the end of that cycle, then, we would run Climate Qual again. We'd be able to compare against our results from 2013. Does that make sense? It's a kind of a brief overview. We've written up a much more detailed description of how it would work, but just to give you an idea, you can anticipate being invited, if you want to participate in a focus group where you can share your thoughts on initiatives that would take place, and then task forces would be created to deal with them. And that would be separate from university library administration. So it would be staff-led. Questions or comments? Nothing? I just want to remind you, there's a Climate Qual website. It's open to anyone to look at. A lot of the content, you can just go and browse. And that is one place that you could find the definitions. If you go to core concepts, you would see the definition of all those scales and the examples of the questions and things like that if you're curious to find out more. And you're also invited to get in touch with me if you would like to see the 215-page report and the norms. Or if you have any questions about the results or if you want to talk about any of that, that's what I'm around for. And this is, of course, recorded, so you can see those graphs if you want to go back to the Dean's Corner on the website and look over the visualization of those means that are on that page. It's sometimes easier to look at with the color coding than look through a bunch of numbers. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Lori. As you can tell, this has been it's already a lot of work. And if you think of the hours that have gone into people taking the survey, it's a serious commitment on our part. And I want to thank Lori and Isabel for the good work that they've done in this. It's not, you have to sort of learn as you go, and it's not trivial, and I deeply appreciate this. They actually went through and redacted in the comments anything that could absolutely identify, in any way, shape, or form, could identify any individual, so I don't even have access to that. So it's building a community where people feel safe, and the psychological safety, I think, obviously is something that we need to work on, is important. And we will choose a couple of things, and we really will work on them. I do have to say that, as an American, I was very struck by the high scores in diversity. And that is different in Canada. I can just tell you that I think y'all broke the curve. And it's something, I suspect that I really wonder if any other libraries have the high scores that y'all have in those areas. And that is a comment on this culture, and it is a comment on this society, and I think it's a very good one. So that's something that I just have to congratulate my new home about. So if you have any comments, I just want to say again that I didn't engage in this trivially. It is something that I think is important. I tried to find a great time to do it. There was no great time. I regret having not done it earlier, but we're doing it, and we will continue to work on it. The next step, as Lori described, really does involve focus groups, and they're really important because all we have now are some numbers that are reflective of a general sentiment. And we also know by standard deviations is if the answers for a question, if the mean is very representative of the total views. So, you know, I always use this example of if I and Bill Gates are on a park bench and we compare our annual income and we average it, then that average is not representative of either one of our incomes. So the standard deviation in that sense is really huge because there's a huge diversity. We have numbers that represent those standard deviations too, so we know that whether an individual number is generally representative of most people's thinking or whether there are huge views, and what we've got is a middle number that may not be totally representative of really diverse views. So this is important when you're called upon or asked to work on a focus group, think seriously about it, because the next steps will be what we make of them. And I really hope that people step up to the bar and get involved in this, because it is our sandbox, it's our home. So I'm going to open up the floor for any questions from near or far about anything today. Diane had to catch a train, so she's not here, but we can make up answers about facilities. Maybe someone is a little bit more, don't ask me when it's going to be done, and Diane is not taking any bets. She's learns from experience. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Mohammed and then Jane.
I have a question for you and Lori. After this survey, what is the most strong point of this organization, and at the same time, what is the weakest point?
You want to comment on that? The question is just generally, and just having looked at it, what do we think the strongest point and what do we think the weakest are?
Can I look at the survey?
Yeah, I think that climate for deep diversity is the strongest.
Demographic.
Yeah.
Diversity.
Yeah, demographic diversity.
Okay, sorry. Okay, so my answer to that would be the weakest area is... It's literally, if you look at the mean, your question was, what is the area that we need the most improvement or the area that's the most concern to address? It would be in the area of organizational justice and especially distributive justice. That has to do with the rewards. And I think a lot of people remember the question about rewards because people found it very, very tricky. So I think that resonates with our experience. Like the results say that that's the area that there's not a lot of agreement about, that rewards what they are, how they're distributed, and that the strongest is clearly in demographic diversity, which is that people perceive that when it comes to race, gender, and sexual orientation, that we have a very accepting and diverse, and people are basically treated similarly, no matter which category they fall into.
Yeah.
Jane.
I have a question about the entrance, the bed path call that we have used in the past to get to the door into the LTS session. Will that door be open for us?
Do you know where you're... Which door? Okay, the side door from the terrace?
See what the Faculty of Music and what they will be giving the access to, because that's really their area, not ours.
Okay. My guess would be it's the same as what it was before.
It should be.
It should be what it was before, but obviously we don't know when. Okay. Yes.
No, it's not. In normal circumstances, that's where that was Jim was saying. It's really an entrance also for people who come from upper. So we think it's going to be the same, but it's really the Faculty of Music's decision, not ours.
Okay. Anything else? Yes, Mark. A question about what the guards are doing.
The question, the answer to that is because right now in Tim Hortons area, there's still a section, there's a gyps wall in there. So the students is basically to guide the students towards Tim Hortons back and forth so that they don't stay in the library eating food or to route them and make sure they go through the cyber tech door. That's the main purpose of that security guard.
Other questions from near or far? Okay, well, thank you all very much, and I welcome you to the new year. Thanks. Bye-bye.